Welcome to the Classical Academy's podcast, Partnering with Parents. Join us as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, Executive Director for the Classical Academies, and this is the first of a two-part series on how to talk to your son or daughter about sexual health. Here with me today is the Classical Academy High School Counselor, Laura Hughes, as well as the Chief Executive Officer at Pathways Health Clinic, Leslie Salazar-Carrillo. Today we're talking about sexual health and how to have that awkward conversation with your child. So Lori and Leslie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
So Laura, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Laura Hughes. I'm, as Cameron said, the lead counselor of the Classical Academies. I mainly work with the high school sector of our students. So I'm at Classical Academy High School every day working with our teens. So yeah, very exciting.
Great. Leslie?
My name is Leslie Salazar-Carrillo. I'm the CEO of Pathway Health Clinic. We are a nonprofit pregnancy medical clinic located in Vista. And I work with at-risk teens, not at-risk teens, families every single day. And I'm a mom and a wife, and I've raised a child into adulthood and live to tell about it.
Well, we're glad you're a part of our community and we can have this really open discussion. Isn't it odd we are still struggling to talk about the three-letter word with our kids, sex?
Sex. It's very taboo still, yeah, in 2018. And kids want, they want to know. They need to know about it. They're asking questions not just in the counseling office, but they're asking questions with their friends. And Google is their favorite friend when it comes to the three-letter word.
Right.
Sex.
Sex. Yeah. So Laura, at the Classical Academies, you're meeting with high school kids. Mm-hmm. Are these conversations happening in your office?
Absolutely. Sometimes it's because they're asking. Other times it's they're in a relationship, even though we encourage our students, you know, don't dive into the dating world until, you know, you're out of high school. You know, high school shouldn't be all about dating. But they are. And when I know that they're in a serious relationship, I ask the tough questions, you know. Where are you in your relationship? Is it a physical relationship? And if it is, do you know how to be safe?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Consequences behind that.
Yeah. And the answer to that question is most of them don't know.
Most of them don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Leslie, are you seeing that in the community as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's so funny because I spend a lot of my time in front of parents and speaking and in community groups. And the one thing that it always strikes me as odd is we have no problem as parents talking to our kids about the dangers of drinking and driving, of not smoking, of all these things. And yet we're conspicuously silent on sex and what is a healthy relationship. And because sex isn't just a physical act, it's an emotional and relational act. And it can do, if taken out of context and in the wrong context, it can actually do a lot of emotional and relational damage that lasts a lifetime. And so I find it so ironic that we're so silent on that. And yes, absolutely. I've sat across from pregnant girls who didn't even know how they got pregnant. There's so many myths and yes, they are, you know, going to the internet and gosh. And parents, they really want to come to you. They really desire to get that information from you. And trust me, I know it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It was uncomfortable when I was I do this for a living and it was uncomfortable. But you're their best source of information. They want to hear from you. And so, and that I teach that. And I think we're going to talk about that, about what are some ways to start and continue conversations, because it's not a one-time conversation.
I had that with you when you were seven.
Yeah.
And now you have all the information you need and go on your way.
I hear this all the time, and it's a great starting point because I hear it often is, oh, yeah, I took, you know, Johnny or Susie away for the weekend and we had the talk. And I said, that's great. How are you going to continue? Well, we don't need to. Oh, yes, you do. Mm-hmm. You really need to continue that, because the talk you had when they were 12 or 13 is going to be very different at 17. And I frequently tell parents, because parents ask me all the time, when do we start this? Well, really, you need to start talking to your kids about their bodies and about protecting themselves at very young. Stranger danger, I used to tell my son all the time, a stranger is anybody bigger than you. Anybody bigger than you, you need to come and get me. And using appropriate names for body parts, it's you need to empower them in that. And who's allowed to touch them and who's not. And then it opens up that conversation that they're free to come to you. But then starting that conversation about sex and relationships, honestly, it needs to be started around fifth grade. And this is why. Everybody still likes each other. Your children have not become aliens, and they don't think that you've become an alien at some point. Mm-hmm. But you need to start that conversation, because by sixth grade, their bodies are starting to change, and their friendships are starting to change. And all of a sudden, boys are very cute, and girls are very cute. And it just becomes this whirlwind of hormones, and every child hits puberty differently. It needs to start then on, so what are your friends saying about, you know, relationships, and what do you know about that? And just kind of starting that conversation, because starting it at 15, 16, you're really behind the ball on that.
The train already left the station.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. And they've probably already made some decisions that they were not prepared for. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many girls that I see in our center that said, I didn't know that I could say no. Mm. Nobody ever told me I could say no.
Leslie, I keep hearing kind of the undertone of this is not only should we be talking about sex, but we should be talking about navigating healthy relationships. What is a relationship? Can I say no? What do I want to say yes to? And having that conversation very young as well.
Absolutely, because dating violence is on the rise. Mm-hmm. On both spectrums. A lot of people don't realize they're in a dating violence situation. Mm-hmm. They think that that's normal or it's okay or, mm-hmm. you know. And so
he just gets angry sometimes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or she gets angry sometimes. Mm-hmm. Girls can be brutal, you know, and so, yeah, absolutely. And verbal abuse is the same as physical abuse. Mm-hmm. And usually when verbal abuse starts, physical abuse is coming.
It's on the spectrum.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. And so, absolutely, because again, what is a healthy relationship and where are your boundaries? Where, like you said, Laura, where is it okay to say no? And are you prepared for the consequences of saying yes in the long term? A lot of times when I'm in the schools, because I speak in schools often, is what does this decision look like in your life at 14, 15, 16, and the consequences thereof? And what does that decision look like at 24, 25, 26, and the consequences thereof? I think that we just want our kids to grow up so fast, and their kids are growing up very, very fast, and social media is a big driver of that. But they still don't have a decision making. Their brain has not developed in that way yet. And so we're expecting them to make these decisions looking at the long-term effects. I always say, why does an 18-year-old make a great Marine? Because they don't have that long-term effect yet. They can't see past right now. And your teen can't either, nor can your fifth grader. And so we need to teach them how to make good decisions and how to be decision makers, because our colleges are filled with kids who are never made to make decisions and see the long-term effects of that. If I do this, this may happen.
Right?
And you still have a huge influence over them. Once they leave your house, you do not, and Cam, you and I were just talking about, we have adult children. You know, once they're gone, they're gone.
So can we talk about maybe some misconceptions that parents have about sex and they're talking to their children?
Well, gosh, if you're talking about it, your children are going to start doing it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you talk about drugs, kids are going to do drugs.
Kids are going to do drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or if we talk about sex, they're going to think about sex. And I'm a little abrupt or upfront. Do you need help thinking about sex? They don't either.
Right.
That's how they're made. Mm-hmm. You don't need, once you hit puberty, that goes into overdrive. That is how we are made. The human body is made to do that. So not talking about it is actually worse. And it's not, They don't need any, teens don't need any help thinking about sex.
And we all know that sex is everywhere. It's on the television. It's in
print. It's in the internet. It's everywhere.
Right. So why is it still taboo?
Well, and this is something that when I go out and I speak to parents, because I often speak to parent groups and teaching building family connections, and I'll have them close their eyes and really go back to when they were in high school. But really think about the pressures that they felt in school, wanting to fit in. They like somebody, somebody doesn't like them. All of those things have not changed, but this is the difference. This generation of kids have never lived without social media or computers.
Smartphones.
Exactly. They've never lived in a time where we weren't under a threat of terrorism. They've never lived in a time when schools weren't shot up. So the pressures that we felt was minuscule compared to what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. Our peer groups were our peer groups. It was the people that you hung out with. If you didn't get invited to a party, you weren't going to find out about it till Monday morning, and by then it probably didn't matter anyway, or you were bummed for a couple of days. They're seeing life in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I feel so sorry for them because they've got 1,000 people on their social media that they don't even know that are feeding who they should be, how they should view themselves. And
Should wear this. Your hair should look like this. This is the makeup you should be using. This is the look you should have. This is the jeans you should fit into. These are the,
this is the person you should be.
Exactly.
In a box.
And parents, if sex is still a taboo, somebody is telling your kids.
Right.
Because it's not a taboo for everybody. Somebody is telling your kids about it. And who do you want that voice to be? Because parents do not abdicate that role. I'm going to tell you right now. And we'll talk about how to work through some of that stuff. But don't abdicate that role. That's your role. And your kids actually want to hear it from you.
So, Laura, during your conversations with kids, are you, as you're exploring and asking some of the tough questions, are you also asking them about, have you talked to mom and dad about this?
Absolutely. There is not a conversation that I have with a kid where I don't close it with, I really encourage you to go home and talk to your mom and dad about this. And 8 out of 10 times they do, and they come back and they're like, wow, that was really beneficial. Thank you for encouraging that. So in all the counseling offices at the Classical Academies, that we're encouraging that communication back at home because it's really important. Your kids want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. That's why they reach out to, you know, if they're coming to the counseling office, it's because they're searching for an adult to tell them what's up, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So. And maybe this really comes down to just effective communication. Mm-hmm. So what are some effective tools that parents can use at home to open the topic up mm-hmm. and actually have some dialogue around? Because now my fifth grader is really 17 now.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that. What's that look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, from our standpoint and what I teach, effective communication is that you're talking with. It's a conversation with, not at. When our kids are little, we talk at. You know, don't do that. Don't run in the street. Don't kill your brother. You know, those are talking at. But as they get older, you're becoming more of an advocate. You're having a with conversation in understanding what they are feeling. And a lot of that is open-ended conversations. Because if anybody who talks to a especially a teen, do you have a good day? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How was your math test? Good. You know I love you, right? Yeah. I mean, you're going to get yes, no's. But those open-ended questions are kind of, how did that make you feel? Or what do you think about that?
Mm.
And this is the most important thing, parents, and I am a speaker, I speak for a living, is being quiet afterwards. Silence is your friend. And understand, parents, that boys and girls communicate differently. Girls are eye-to-eye contact. Boys communicate side to side. If you look at a boy, I mean, think about your spouse. If you look at him and start staring at him in a conversation, he's going to shut down because they feel like pinned to the wall. So a boy needs you to not be looking at him. Find something else to do while you're talking.
You're making dinner.
Yeah. Asking, like I said, those open-ended questions is, what do you think about that?
How does that make you feel?
How does that make you feel? And be prepared to hear, parents, something that you may not want to hear. And you have to, it's called counseling face, and Laura probably knows this too. You keep a very neutral face. Mm-hmm. Inside, you're dying and you're thinking, oh my gosh, why are they even telling me this? But you keep a very neutral face, because if you show an expression, they're going to shut down because they're going to feel judged, because they're waiting for you to judge them, you know. But just keeping that neutral face and saying, okay, and then you're guiding the conversation, but they're being allowed to express their opinion. Because, you know, I kind of always felt with my son, and trust me, I made a lot of mistakes, and I was just talking about that. I wish I had talked about relationships more. I wish the conversation was me guided, not him. It was open-ended on what I wanted to talk about. And having an adult child now, you know, you see that. But I think that if you just allow them to express themselves, you're going to be pretty surprised on what a great kid that you raised.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And you're going to hear some things that maybe you don't want to hear. But that's a conversation in itself. Like, where did you hear that? Or where did that information come from? I just want to know, you know, and let them talk. And like I said, silence is your friend.
I think it's interesting. I was having a conversation with one of our adult daughters. I just asked one of those key dad questions, like, so you're dating, what's going on? What's up with this? What's up with that? And she very coyly responded, Dad, be careful what you ask, because you might not like all the answers. And coming back to your point, which is really important, we want our kids. We'd love it if our adult children came to us for advice and asked stuff. But sometimes you do have to keep that face about you. And sometimes you have to get inside and be freaking out, but also understand that, wow, what a special time this is right now, that they are actually telling you these things, they're having these conversations, and they want to hear it from you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they don't need the hysterical response. They don't need your emotionalism, because of anything that plays into their fears of, if I talk to my parents about this, they really don't want to hear about this. Mm-hmm. Where it's really important, we want them to come back and have conversations with us about topics.
So Cam, I'm interested, how did you respond?
Oh, she just makes me laugh. And so I said, absolutely. I need to be careful what I want to know, because mm-hmm. she will tell you, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But I also need to understand that she's a young adult and she's experiencing the world. And hey, but I know that adult children come from hopefully a strong foundation, mm-hmm. where we took the time to have conversations at key areas of their lives. Mm-hmm. I came from an experience where my mother was incredibly open. Every topic could be discussed. Everything could be open. And I know that having conversations with friends in college and friends, young adults, a lot of my friends did not come from households where moms and dads frequently and often talked about sex. Mm-hmm. And all these years later, as a school administrator now, I see the effect of a community who doesn't have these conversations, that should be having these conversations in 2018, where everything is so sexualized. Why aren't you taking the time, mom and dad, to sit down with your children at key moments? And I love Leslie's idea of fifth grade. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. But I understand not everybody has a fifth grader now. And where can these conversations start today? How does that start today?
And it's never too late to start that conversation. And it's okay. This is the thing, parents, and something that I had to do. I was in Texas doing a training, and my son and I, because he was in college out of state, and so we happened to be on the same time zone, and which was rare. And so in this training, it was actually to be certified for building family connections, I called him and I said, was there ever a time when I negated your feelings? He didn't even pause.
Boom.
He said, yes, when I was in middle school. And he said, you acted like what I was feeling was not a big deal. Now, parents, we know that in 6 months, 6 years, it's not going to matter, but it's real to them at that moment. And we need to understand that it's real to them at that moment. So I'm a mom and I started crying and I'm sorry. It's okay to say you're sorry. It's okay if you didn't start it at fifth grade. It's okay to say, you know what, I really am behind the ball on this, but this is where I'd like us to go, because I love you and I want you to have healthy relationships. And so he and I talked it through, and he's the more adult of the two of us. And he said, you know, mom, it was fine, but yeah, it really hurt me. And, you know, I apologized and I said, I'm so sorry that I didn't do that with you. And he was in college. So what I'm trying to get at, parents, is it's never too late. And Cam, I was thinking while you were talking, why are we not talking about it? I'm going to tell you why you do need to talk about it. Because 1 in 4 teens who are sexually active, ages 15 to 24, have a sexually transmitted disease. And I worked in medicine for 16 years. Most of them don't even know it. Most of them don't know that you can get an STD from various kinds of sex. Vaginal sex, anal sex, oral sex. And a lot of our teens, I'm going to be a little brutal right now, a lot of our teens are engaging in oral and anal sex because they want to save their virginity, their quote-unquote virginity. Well, one, there's an emotional, relational response anytime you have an intimate encounter with somebody, but you're running a very high risk of an STD. Because teens' biggest fear is getting pregnant, because people are going to know. So they're engaging in other types of sexual activity that put them at risk for an STD. So right now, per the Center for Disease Control, 1 in 6 people ages 14 to 49 who are sexually active have herpes. 1 in 6. So parents, if you're thinking, well, I don't need, you know, my kids were raised in a certain way and I don't need to, they know how I feel. Really? Are you sure that they do? Because maybe not. And this is, you know, in that effective communication. So homeschool parents love Venn diagrams. I loved Venn diagrams when I was homeschooling. So bring your kids, give them buy-in on this. Do a Venn diagram. What is your family banner statement about sex and healthy relationships? And I'm giving you tools to get this conversation started. Like, what is your banner statement? Do they know? And parents, I'm going to tell you that your banner statement is going to be different than your best friend's banner statement because your kids are different. And that's okay.
Right.
So what's your family banner statement? And do your kids know? Well, yes, of course they know. We raised them this way. They may not know. So you do a Venn diagram, your ideas of healthy relationships and dating, their ideas of healthy relationships and dating. You raise good kids. I'm going to tell you there's some common denominators. Those go in the middle, and that's where you start your family banner statement. No, you are not abdicating your role as the authoritarian in your child's life. You're not. You have the final say. But I don't like being told what to do. But if they come to that conclusion, they're going to own that. We want our kids to own these decisions. They have to own the consequences, good and bad. So that's where it starts. But again, it can't just be you do that in fifth grade, and that's...
And never again.
Never again, because you have to do it in middle school. You're going to have to do it in... Let's relook at our family banner statement, you know, when they start high school, when they're a sophomore, junior, because that year is, it's just rough. And then when they're getting ready to go to college, you know, what? Let's look at this and see where we are right now. And that's a good way for them to have a voice in this, because again, it's that conversation with, not at.
That's awesome. Well, thank you ladies for the conversation today. This is part one of a two-part series, and we'll look forward to posting the second episode soon.
This podcast is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, email us at podcast@classicalacademy.com. Subscribe to our channel or leave us a review. Thanks for listening.